It is the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour now. The bottom of the 1 o'clock hour, if you're listening to the replay. It means it's time for the Wednesday Wisdom segment, underwritten by LTV Studios in East Hampton. And our next guest is from East Hampton as well, the author of Track 61, Eve Carlin, joining us this morning. Good morning, Eve.
Deanna, how are you?
I am very well and very excited to talk about your book, Track 61. Let's start off by really getting into it and talking about what Operation Pastorius is, how Track 61 merges it with your maternal grandmother, Greta, and how beautifully you weaved the stories together using the date of the Nazi saboteurs landing on Amagansett shores, June 13th of 1942.
Right, yeah. And on June 13th, 1942, 80 years ago this summer, a U-boat dropped four men, Nazi saboteurs, off the coast of Amagansett, right around the Atlantic Avenue beach and the Coast Guard station there. Their mission was a sabotage mission, destroy perhaps aluminum plants and power stations on the East Coast, which would have been detrimental for the new World War II war effort. This story came to me because I grew up not far from there in Amagansett, and I had always known about the story, but when I became more aware of the story, I realized that the men had landed virtually in front of the house where I used to live, and that I had lived in that house with my maternal grandmother, who was a German Jew who had fled Hitler. And the irony that I had lived there with my grandmother and that Nazis who she had fled landed on the beach virtually in front of her home seemed like the basis of a fabulous story. So I set about weaving those stories together.
And fabulous it was, at least the job that you did. It ultimately led to that incident, the largest and quickest mass execution of prisoners in the U.S., as you mentioned, in the afterword. Unbelievable story. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like for you and for others in your family, perhaps Greta herself, to be German Jews?
Well, I think, you know, the story resonates for me today because I think, you know, that was my grandmother's circumstances, but so many people have fled their homelands, even today we're witnessing it, feel like outsiders, assimilate but don't quite assimilate, have ties to their home. So I was very, very happy and pleased to be able to weave so many stories that I had heard about my grandmother's childhood and how naturally they fell into the historical story of the Nazi landing. But I think her story is really universal. A lot of people, you know, have similar longing and wants and suffering. Ultimately, they're very, very grateful for being in this country and being safe and free. But it's clearly a challenging experience for so many.
Can you talk a little bit about Track 61 and not only that, but Track M42?
Yeah. The two threads of the story came together for me. I was looking for a New York City story, having written a New York City story in the past about a well that still exists on Spring Street in Manhattan that a young woman was murdered in. So I started, you know, just looking at New York City haunts, places I kind of love, and one of those places is Grand Central. And when I looked, I discovered that there is a power station, the deepest sub-basement in New York, even today, about 10 stories below Grand Central. And during World War II, that station, that power station converted. It was a rotary converter station that supplied power to trains running up and down the East Coast. And it also supplied power to aluminum plants that built airplanes, which were obviously vital for the war effort.
Right.
If that power station had been sabotaged, the aluminum plants would have been destroyed, and it would have taken up to a year to rebuild and replace them. And that would have been such a horrendous thing to happen at when the U.S. first became involved in World War II, about 6 months after Pearl Harbor. Now, alongside, or not exactly known because it's not listed on any blueprint or map, below Grand Central is a private rail spur called Track 61. That's kind of like urban legend. And basically, it was used to transport distinguished guests. Most notably, FDR used Track 61 when he came to New York City, after which he took a private elevator up to the Waldorf Astoria. The elevator was large enough to accommodate his limousine. And in this way, he was able to stay safe and hide his disability. So in my novel, which is historical fiction, one of the targets of the sabotage mission is FDR arriving on Track 61.
It's so incredibly interesting, especially when you consider the reimagining of Grand Central. And I'd love to talk a little bit further about historical fiction itself, because it seems like such a fantastic way to get people excited about history and, almost trick them into learning more about things that were. Can you talk a little bit about why you write historical fiction yourself?
I mean, I am a firm believer that truth is stranger than fiction.
Amen.
And I do. Sometimes it's difficult to read a dry kind of history. Those do exist about the Nazi sabotage mission, but it just becomes such an intriguing story when you're able to supply dialogue. There's a wide range of historical fiction. I really like stories in which I learn something, especially something about where I live and the environment where I live. I mean, we all live adjacent to these beautiful beaches, but it's easy to down there on a foggy evening to Atlantic Avenue and see the beach as it was 80 years ago and just imagine men, enemies of the United States, landing there on the shores. And it's just one of those terrific stories. Hard to imagine that it happened here. It did.
It's unbelievable. And, you talked about the research. You did a phenomenal amount of research. Read many books in order to write this one. Before I let you go, Eve, I've got two questions. One is, do you feel in any way closer to your grandmother and to others in your family by writing Track 61?
I tell you, my grandmother lived, she wound up coming to this country as an immigrant when she was about 16, and I was very, very close to her, and she lived to 101. So she died last summer. And I do feel really pleased. I think adding her personal account to this amazing story just makes it so much, just like her stories came and resonated so deeply with me. I think that they really make the book so much more human. She has a story about a beloved dog she had that, and certainly so many terrible things happened during World War II, far more terrible than this. But her dog was shot by my great-grandfather rather than turn this German Shepherd over for use by the military in Germany.
Wow.
And as a child, that really always struck me.
I got chills
just
hearing you say
things.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I have photos of that dog. Like me, my grandmother loved dogs. So it's one of these details. I think you get these details from grandparents, from parents. You're lucky enough to know your great-grandparents, and there's really no replacing them. They're very personal.
So this book just came out, and your grandmother died last year. I hope that you shared some pieces of the novel, and I'm sure she knew as well as she was able to what you were doing. Can you talk a little bit about her responses to the project?
Well, I think, she was always very supportive, and I don't. She was very well right into the end, and so that's the power of exercise, because she always was a big exerciser. But I think it's kind of a lovely thing. The book is dedicated to her, and I'm very pleased to have been able to do that and just to impart some of her personal stories. It's clearly fiction in many ways, but just a few of these things that she had passed down to me, I'm really happy to have been able to have them recorded.
Well,
in this novel.
Unbelievably grateful to you for not only writing the book, but sharing with us this morning. I see you're a bookseller. Is it a bookstore in East Hampton? If so, I'd love to direct folks there to buy your book, as well as encourage anyone,
you're
buying a book anywhere locally, ask your local bookstore. If it's not on the shelves, I imagine they can ask, they can order it for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So are you a bookseller in East Hampton?
Yes,
okay.
I am. I work at Bookhampton, and I'm happy to sign anyone who wants to come in and buy the book.
Fantastic.
Buy the book for them.
Have you done any signings so far? What has been the response so far after publication?
Yeah, the response has been terrific. We did a big book launch at Bookhampton, and I have been speaking around and done a couple radio gigs. I also got, just the other day, which is amazing to me, an email from a descendant of one of the people involved, a real-life person who was a Coast Guardsman on the beach that night when the Nazis landed. And to hear from his granddaughter was really amazing for me. So the response has been terrific.
Very cool. All right, Eve Carlin, before I let you go, is there anything that we haven't talked about when it comes to Track 61 that you want to make sure that folks know?
No, I just, I'm curious to know everyone's feedback. Go down to the lifeguard station in Amagansett. They have a wonderful exhibit and things from that night, the landing on the beach. So that's really interesting to see. And I'm happy you can reach me at www.evecarlinbooks.com, and I'm eager to hear from anyone.
Are you back in the saddle before I let you go? What are you working on, if so?
It's really, really early. But again, another historical novel, which I do think that there's just, it's amazing how when I started to look at Grand Central, I found these links to my family. Happened the first time I wrote, and I'm kind of searching for that link again with a new story.
Very cool. Eve Carlin, the book is called Track 61. Find it at Bookhampton, my friends. Eve will sign it for you. I'm Gianna Volpe. That was Eve Carlin. This was the Wednesday Wisdom segment, underwritten by LTV Studios, also in East Hampton. These are the Wrens, and you, whoever you are out there, you're awesome, and you're listening to Long Island's only local NPR radio station, WLIWFM.